Let's go. You're about to experience action like you've never heard it before. Action sports, celebrities, badasses, and massive interviews. All coming to you from the Polaris Razor Studio. This is Jim Beaver's Project Action, exclusively on Podcast One.
Welcome to this week's Project Action on Podcast One. I'm your host, Jim Beaver, here locked, loaded with a special Baja 1000 edition of the podcast. We've got an epic interview with Baja 500 winner from about a month or so back, Dan McMillan, who is actually, as this drops, competing in the 2020 SCORE Baja 1000. I kind of saved it for Project Action until today, even though it was about a month and a half back we actually did this interview, because, well, we got to get a little Baja flavor going on here. And obviously, if you're listening to this, you're not eating tacos, you're not drinking beer, you're not having margaritas down south of the border. You are stuck at home. Hopefully, you're tuning in, watching the live stream to Baja, and listening to this as you do. But yes, Dan McMillan, Baja champ or Baja winner from a couple of months ago, he's on the show this week. He's also sitting in the pole position for the Baja 1000 that is happening today. So hopefully you enjoyed this interview. Aired nationally, kind of spliced apart. This is a director's cut of it from the Down and Dirty Radio Show. Thank you, Project Action. Listeners are going to love it. That being said, yes, this is Project Action on Podcast One. I am Jim Beaver. You can follow me along at JimBeaver15 on social media for those of you who aren't already doing so. I'm on all the major platforms. Please go to Apple Podcasts, smash the subscribe button to this show. Please leave a rating or review if you haven't already. Definitely helps us out. And please check out my other show, the Down and Dirty Radio Show, as well. You can hit that up on Apple Podcasts and SiriusXM 211, Dan Patrick Radio, and a bunch of other places. But please check it out. I know my website's down. DownandDirtyShow.com is down right now. Reason being, we've got an epic new website coming in the next couple of weeks. You guys are going to enjoy it. Big, big things are coming. So be prepared for that. But yes, thank you guys for all the support of the show. And speaking of supporting the show, before we jump into this interview, I got to, mention one of our amazing partners, Geico. You know, do you own or rent your home? I'm sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy, though? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or rentals insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to Geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit Geico.com today. That's Geico.com. And with that, this is a pretty lengthy interview with Dan McMillan. We're going to roll right into that right about now. I'd like to welcome my next guest who can call himself a Baja champion. Been a while since we've had you on the show. Dan McMillan, man, welcome back, buddy.
Hey, thanks, Jim. Thanks for having me. Still doesn't feel real, but yeah, we came home from San Felipe at Baja 500 champion, and Justin Bean Smith and I are super excited.
Yeah, well, and I guess, you know, there you can win in trophy truck, right? Or in best in the desert in, you know, trick truck. Like, there's wins, but then there's a Baja win, and, you know, and I got to think. And even like this one, you know, it was at San Felipe, and to me, like a Baja 500 win is just a little bit bigger than a San Felipe 250 win. I feel like this has got to be pretty damn special, man.
Yeah, it's very special. You know, the two races that I remember the most growing up were always down in Baja, especially the 500 and the 1000. San Felipe 250 is obviously a great race, and we thoroughly enjoy it, but the 500 and the 1000 were the two that I remember the most, watching my dad and my grandpa and my uncle and all the legends like, you know, Rob McCracken and Robbie Gordon, who were at this race, and watching them race, you know, growing up trophy truck, you know, it was pretty special. So this win is definitely something that I'll never forget. And to win a 500 is pretty awesome. Obviously, the Baja 1000 is the Super Bowl of them all, but, you know, this is like the AFC or NFC playoff championship game where, you know, it's a great step in the right direction for our team for the big one, and we couldn't be more excited. I couldn't be more happy.
Yeah, well, and you know, talk about this race, because I know there's a, you know, obviously COVID hit the country and hit Mexico and hit the Southwest U.S. just like it did everywhere else in the world, and it's been kind of SCORE. You know, I feel really bad for them because they were dealt a bad hand this year, and you know, I'm just happy and thankful that we were actually able to go racing down in Baja. And, you know, so I know there was a lot going into this. Obviously, an untraditional 500, this being run out of San Felipe instead of Ensenada. You know, I heard all kinds of swirlings about pre-running, things like that. I mean, you know, how was the event? I mean, obviously, you guys spent some time down there in Mexico doing some pre-running beforehand. Obviously, the race was there. I mean, it was a different than an untraditional, you know, the traditional 500. I mean, you know, there was just a lot swirling around this event. I mean, what's your takeaway from all this, and how did things run, and how was the course compared to, you know, traditional 500?
Well, I think to answer your first question, how was the race overall? I think the race went really, really well. Obviously, we won, but Tor did a really good job at kind of keeping us, I wouldn't say under the radar, but doing all the COVID protocols, you know, having all the start and finish out at El Dorado Ranch was really nice. It limited the people going in. The town of San Felipe, I thought was awesome. I remember driving to the start line at 6 a.m. and every gas station and OXXO and 7-Eleven was just packed out the door with fans. And I think the fans finally felt like something normal was back. Like you said, COVID hit and life kind of got thrown on its head. San Felipe was awesome. We brought all our own food as a team. We made the decision as a team to kind of bring our own food. We stayed in some hotels that had kitchens, so we did our own thing. We wanted to lay low and give that respect to the people. Of course, we wore masks in gas stations and where we needed them, but we did our part and SCORE did their part, and I think the people of San Felipe really enjoyed it. The big question mark for our team was going to be the border weight, because we had heard nightmares about 8 to 10 hour border waits, and I think our guys were across in less than 2 hours, which is about normal for any Baja 500, Baja 1000 coming back. So really, I think the race went unhitched. I think it was a great sign of what was to come. I think the 1000 is going to be a great race, and I think I commend SCORE for doing it and putting it on. I know there's a lot of naysayers and a lot of people saying, well, they shouldn't have it. Well, at some point, I think, you know, you got to make that call, and we wanted to go racing, and we were excited to go.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about the course, because traditionally, I don't want to say the 500 is an easier course, because it's definitely not, but yeah. San Felipe is brutal, dude. I mean, it's brutal, and now you go and, I mean, you know, SCORE's been pushing the past couple of years, and it's not necessarily a 250 anymore. They're pushing into the 300 territory and even pushing a little bit further past that, but 500 miles at San Felipe, man, how was that on race day? I know you did, the first 330 miles, and then you handed the truck off, but that course, I mean, that's not a place you traditionally want to race 500 miles at.
No, that was a very tough course, and I thought it was a very almost an interesting way for a welcome back to Baja. You know, here's a hell of a race course, and it was, like you said, it's brutal out there, and it's only getting worse. But the course, you know, started and went north, and we did a lot of lake bed, which was a lot of high speed stuff, all the way at the top at Mexicali, and then we just went down on through all the stuff, all the rocks, all the washes, all the whoops, everything you can think of, it was thrown at us this race. And we start in Ensenada, we go down the beach, and you got a nice beach breeze, you kind of look over at the ocean, you kind of like, oh, this is really nice. And this 500 was like from green flag to checkered flag, was like, okay, just hang on, buckle up, and hold on, and go racing. And it was very untraditional. You know, we're used to starting right there in front of the convention center in Ensenada, but I think this was a good step in the direction and a good sign for what's to come. And the course was just super, super rocky. We had one flat tire, but, you know, we got the BF Goodrich tires, and those things are just unbelievable what they can put themselves through. So we're excited on that. But the washes, we ran a lot of new washes, a lot of old stuff, new stuff, things we've never seen before. So the SCORE really went above and beyond to make the welcome back just that much more special.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about a little bit about, you know, obviously, you know, this is a big win for you. And I know, you know, I saw the article that, you know, Off-Road Racer did, and, you know, they did a phenomenal job of kind of telling the story and stuff. But you've, you know, I hate to say you've had a monkey on your back, because I know, you know, everybody likes to joke about fourth place finish, but I've said this on the show before. I'm like, you literally are probably one of the most accomplished drivers of the last 5-6 years. Like, you're always there. I mean, I can there's mm-hmm. nobody that's had the finishing rate and, you know, and top fives that you've had. You just haven't been able to get over the hump and get that victory. But I mean, I look at your body of work the past 5 years and I'm like, man, it rivals anybody in the sport, you know. And how was this for you to finally cross the finish line first and be like, all right, yeah, now we can move on?
Yeah, no, it felt good. You know, fourth place is obviously, I want to compete and I want to win and I want to do good. And I got a cousin and a brother that are very, very good. So it's hard. You know, we all three work together hard at free running. So when we go racing, it's always going to be one of them two or both of them. And then you got guys like Menzies and McCachran and Ryan Arciero and all these guys. And it's like, man, it's like, fourth ain't bad when you look at it, but you know, I want that breakthrough win. And we've had a lot of I've had second places, I've had a couple thirds, I've had a ton of fourth places. And the fourth place joke started off in 2000, and well, actually my first trophy truck racing score was 2011. We got fourth overall, and then 2012 500 I got fourth, and then 2012 Baja 1000 I actually got fifth. And but Tavo, I don't know if you remember this, but he got penalized for adjusting his lights on the highway. And I made a joke on Race Desert saying like, oh, am I going to get fourth again? Because it was my third race in a row getting fourth. And so I got fourth. So then the running joke became, oh, Dan's going to get fourth. Well, since 2012, I think I've gotten fourth 8 or 9 times, which for me, who's put in a lot of work and who's got a great team that supports me, and we put in just a ton of effort. It's like, man, fourth place again. It's like, I want that, need that breakthrough win or podium and just be more consistent. And this win really kind of took that, like you said, monkey off my back and kind of does, it won't make it going forward so annoying if I get another fourth place. Cause like, hey, you know what? I won the Baja 500, so I'll put up with it. But you know, consistency is everything. And I think that's been my style of driving for so long, is just being consistent and smart. And fourth place ain't bad, but you always want to win.
Yeah, well, and I got to say at this point, man, I think everybody's looking at you guys, and between you and Luke, I mean, you know, he's got a big win. You've got a big win this year. I know Luke was pretty close at KOH. Like, I look at this, and I think everybody's eyeing Dan and Luke McMillan going, man, what the hell are we going to do here? These guys are kind of cleaning house in 2020.
Yeah, no, our team is putting in just a tremendous effort. We've got 8 guys at our shop that bust their ass to get the pre-runners and the race trucks and the chase trucks and the logistics and the spare parts all ready to go. And this just shows what kind of team we have. And we're all very, very close. We all get along and, you know, just more kind of due diligence, kind of, you know, crossing our T's and dotting our I's when it comes to the races and, you know, double checking, triple checking things and being smart on the race course and making smart pre-run decisions. And, you know, Luke's had a hell of a year. He won the Mint. He got second at King of the Hammers. He won the Silver State 300 in Desert. He got third at Vegas Reno. In fact, I think Luke and Luke's truck have had like 7 podiums in a row, starting from last year's 500 or last year's 1000. So, and then the truck I raced got second at the Baja 1000 last year with Toby Price and Nasser Alitia. So that truck really knows its way around Baja, I'd say, but the team's putting in a great effort, and between Luke and I and a few other guys, it's going to be a battle at the 1000.
Yeah. Well, and that being said, I got a couple things. Let's talk about the 1000, because now all of a sudden you win the 500 and dude, you're sitting in the pole position for the Baja 1000, man. I mean, that's as big as it comes. I mean, you know, how do you approach that knowing you're the guy leading the pack now?
Well, I tell you what, Jim, I'm pretty excited. I you know, usually we're qualifying, and I've never been a very strong qualifier. I've never been the guy to go out there and hang it out, but when you start first based off a result and you get the win, it's pretty awesome. I've never been the first truck on the road. I've never started first in a race, so this is really, really, really special. And obviously clean air is going to be a big advantage, especially with the four-wheel drive that we have. Depending on which way the course goes, I hope there's no wind and it's dusty and hot as hell. So we're excited. The team's excited. Luke will be starting third. Actually, I was thinking about this the other day. This is actually the second year in a row that the truck I'm racing will be starting first at the Baja 1000, because Ryan Arciero won the Baja 400 last year, which was the race that my old truck burnt to the ground, and I ended up racing with Ryan in the number 32. Well, 1 year later, the 32 is getting flip-flopped, and now the 23 starting first. And so it's I tell you what, this year has been just extremely, I don't know what the word is, exciting, frustrating, everything in between, but kind of a remarkable turn of events here in the last couple months of the year. But we're excited for the 1,000, and we just can't wait to get back down there.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, you mentioned the all-wheel drive truck, and I want to talk about four-wheel drive because I know, you know, it's kind of been one of the big stories, you know, last couple of years is, you know, the four-wheel drive starting to kind of emerge. And, you know, longest time they were kind of ticking time bombs, you know, and I think that's why nobody ever ran them, you know. And we go back to, you know, Herps, and we got, you know, what do we got, the McPherson truck and things like that. Nobody could ever really get them to live. But I think, you know, now we're seeing, like with you, I mean, you know, the you know, they are there, and, you know, the stability of the platform is there, and you can get them to the finish line. I mean, how big is that? Because you're a guy that's, you know, you've burned as many laps as anybody in a two-wheel drive truck. How has this switch been to all-wheel drive and the advantages that you have in a race like Baja?
Well, I think the biggest, you know, I get that question asked all the time is, you know, what's the difference? You know, what's the difference? Like, what do you notice the most? And I think the thing I notice the most isn't so much the grab of it pulling in and out of the turns. You feel it. But I think the thing is, they're just, the four-wheel drive is deceivingly fast. And by what I mean by that is, with a two-wheel drive, when you're going fast over the bumps or you're on a dry lake bed, the hood likes to ride. It likes to float in the front. But with the four-wheel drive, you've got obviously the extra weight in the front with the front diff, but you've got the pull of the front. So you're staying a lot more on plane than the four-wheel drive. So you kind of, you're driving and you don't think you're going very fast because the truck's not doing anything kind of, you know, not getting out of shape, not getting wild, loose and wild like a two-wheel drive. And you look down your GPS, you're like, oh, man, I'm doing 90 miles an hour. You know, I'm not going slow. So corners come up a lot quicker in the four-wheel drive because you do have that speed, but you don't think you're going that fast because it's not getting kind of loose underneath you. So the four-wheel drive is certainly, I think, an advantage in a lot of things, especially in Baja with all the silt and the sand that we go through. The graded roads, it's very, very fast. I do think it's not quite as fast as the two-wheel drives and the big, big whoops, but they're certainly not slow. And I think with the front, it pulls you over the next whoop, and, you know, you don't have to drive them as hard. And you know, I've never been a guy that's going to go out there and drive extremely hard. So the four-wheel drive suits my driving style. I think it suits my style of just being smart, let the truck do its thing, let my pre-running come into play. You know, long race, let's get to the finish line and see where we are, get the halfway and see where we're at. So you saw it with the truck last year at the Baja 1000 when Nasser and Toby raced it. Two very experienced Dakar guys that are used to racing for 15 days. So they kind of know, hey, keep the car alive, keep moving, be smooth, be smart. And it got second last year. So I think the truck and the four-wheel drive, I think with the right driver, it's a very, very good combination. The four-wheel drive is certainly, it had its bumps in the road. It has its hiccups. It has its flaws, but we're starting to learn a lot of things at our shop with them, and we're not telling anyone else. But certainly, I think in the next couple years, when I have one and my brother's got one on order right now, which should be done in the next couple months, I think we're going to be a force to be reckoned with, and the things that we're going to learn in our shop is going to be very, very beneficial.
Yeah. How has it been for you? I mean, obviously, you and your brother, you've got the same background. You guys are both at the top of the game right now. I mean, you can rank probably the top five guys in off-road, you know, in regards to trophy truck, and you and your brother are definitely in the mix, you know. How has it been for you guys? Because your dad, obviously, you know, they had the unlimited programs and things like that. He could have started you out anywhere, but you guys started all the way down in 1600 buggies, and he made you kind of learn and work your way up through the ranks to get where you're at. I mean, how does that come into play with the success that you and Luke are having now? Because you have, you know, you started out at the ground floor where you had to watch in a 1600 car. I mean, everything, every last rock, whoop, bump, you know, everything was about momentum. And it teaches you a driving style, you know, and then you move up through the ranks. And I think a lot of people that start out in the unlimited cars, they don't have to get that, you know, they don't get the small nuances of off-road, you know, that you do when you start in those limited class. I mean, how does that come into play now when you're at the top of the game in this all-wheel drive, you know, almost 1,000 horsepower trophy truck?
Well, I think it kind of taught us growing up that, you know, it's all about momentum. It's all about speed. It's all about it's all, every corner counts. And in 1600, you certainly know that. You go to races like Battle at Prim or Ridge of the River where there's 1600 cars. And you think you have a really, really fast run, and you know, all of a sudden you're like 20th. And you're like, why? Like, how? And the 1600 cars just really teach you about finding traction, finding momentum, you know, setting a tire out of the groove and kind of keeping your speed up. So once we went from 1600s to class one, you know, we kind of took that, what we learned from 1600 car, went to the class ones and had a lot of success. I won a couple races in class one for the 1 year I was in it, and then took it to trophy truck, but kind of taught you how to be smart too. Cause then, you know, if you learn with small limited horsepower, you learn about all those things, but you learn it's also easy to get in trouble real quick. And I think a lot of guys that jump in a trophy truck real fast, it's real easy to go fast. I think we've learned that. We heard that once from Alan Pfluger and Dust of Glory. It's real smart. It's real easy to go fast, but you got to learn when to slow down. And a lot of these new guys come in here and they go get a trophy truck and they go over a lot of whoops and they think, oh, this is easy. But it's the one that you don't read, and you can't read the terrain that bites you in the butt. So Luke and I have certainly learned a lot of the fundamentals of reading terrain and keeping speed up and momentum. And my cousin Andy started in class one, but we all grew up driving buggies in the desert and in the sand dunes. So we've learned from an early age that it's easy to screw up. We've rolled buggies in the dunes, but you know, with 1,000 horsepower and four-wheel drive, it definitely makes it a lot easier. And I think that's why we're so fast, is we don't have to push. We don't have to drive over our heads to keep up. And you always see us at the finish line.
Yeah. So, you know, obviously we got Baja 1000 coming up. Then after that, I mean, what's next year look like for you guys? There's a lot of options on the table, Dan. I mean, we've got Best of the Desert, we've got KOH, we've got, you know, the Martelli events, we've got SCORE, we've got this new Legacy Series. I mean, how are you dissecting, you know, 2021 and looking at what to run? Because we've got, more than ever, a lot of options on the table, man.
great question, Jim. We're kind of wanting to wrap this up here with the Baja 1000 win and see what happens for next year. But obviously our heart is in Baja. We love Baja. We love the people down there. We love pre-running. We love everything about going to Mexico. And I think what we saw last weekend in San Felipe was the people of Baja love it. It was busy down there. They missed us. We missed them. So we're going to definitely do all the Baja races next year. And then as far as any sort of race here in the States, we're, like you said, we've got quite a menu to pick from. We've got Best in Desert. We've got the Legacy Series, which is new. We've got the Mint 400 with the Martellis. We've got King of the Hammers with Dave Cole. We've got just a ton of things to think about. And so, you know, really, we don't really know what we're going to do here in the States. We'd love to do them all, but budget reasons and time constraint really doesn't allow us to do that. So our focus next year is certainly all of Baja for the SCORE series. And then kind of we'll see how the end of this year wraps up, and we'll make a decision, because there's like five or six races in like a 3 month period. So you've got to pick them wisely and go with your gut and go.
Yeah. How about, I know I see you and your dad, he loves making the annual trip back to Crandon. I know you guys have a ton of fun. You ever had the itch to get behind a Pro 2 or something like that at Crandon, Dan?
I actually raced a Pro 2 at Crandon in 2013. We were at the Nora Rally in April, and I was with Steve and Bryce Menzies having a few quote-unquote sodas, and I'm making a joke, and I said, well, I want to go back, and, you know, talking to Bryce, I said, hey, I want to go back to Crandon and watch you race. And Steve goes, watch? No, you got to race. Let me find you a truck. I said, okay, whatever. Well, a couple weeks later, I get a phone call from Steve, like, hey, Scotty Taylor said he would love to rent you his truck, as, you know, for a small fee. I said, well, of course. So long story short, I raced Scotty Taylor's Pro 2 in 2013, and boy, I have a lot more fun watching, but it is so intense. I remember turn one, I was like, okay, hang on. And I tell you what, I love my trophy truck after racing Pro 2. It is certainly something else. Those guys are absolutely insane. And I would love to do it again. I think if I do it again, I'd do it in a Pro 4, because I got a little more experience now in a trophy truck with a four-wheel drive. So, but I do love going back there. I love everything about Crandon. I mean, we went last year, and it was Kid Rock was there. So I don't know how they're going to top that. But We'll definitely be back next year for it. We might race something. I think my dad and I were talking about maybe renting some of those stock trucks and just having fun and going door to door at, like, you know, 40 miles an hour versus 100. So we're not sure yet, but we'll definitely be back.
Yeah, I know Street Bike Tommy was back there, and he's a buddy of mine, and he showed up, and some guy with a stock truck gave him the truck, and Tommy went out there, and he's like, he had the time of his life, and I'm like, I could see almost like a celebrity stock truck division. Just get a bunch of, like, trophy truck guys and celebrities, and everybody go in there and just bang and bump and have fun.
That would be awesome. Kind of like the all-star celebrity softball game they have before, like the Home Run Derby or whatever. Just like a, and they could just do it on like the short track. They could just have like, you know, me, Mark, and Luke, and Andy, and I mean, I think Rob and Bryce already raced Pro 2 or Pro 4. So, you know, you get a bunch of random people, a couple, celebrities from all walks of life, and go door to door. It'd be fun.
Yeah, it'd be a blast, man. But, well, I got it. We're up against a time break, buddy, but it was great catching up, man. Congratulations again on the win down there in Baja. We'll definitely be pulling for you in a couple of months at the Baja 1000.
Cool. Hey, thank you, Jim, for having me on. Yeah, I tell you what, it's like almost a dream come true. I still really don't believe it, but, you know, all the phone calls and texts I've gotten from all pretty much everyone makes it seem real. And so we're excited for the Baja 1000. We're going to take what we learned from this race and make it even better at the next one, and hopefully wrap up the year with a win like we started.
And man, great stuff with Dan McMillan. Thank you guys for tuning in. I know Baja 1000 is going on. Hopefully you guys are listening to that. If you're listening to this on delay, well, good for you, man. Thanks for catching it. Please go to Apple Podcasts once again. Hit the subscribe button to not only this show, Project Action, the Down and Dirty Radio Show as well. Leave a rating. Definitely helps us out. I'm at JimBeaver15 on social media. And don't forget, whether you rent or own your own home, GEICO makes it easy to bundle homeowners and car insurance. Having a home is hard work. Get a quote at GEICO.com today. It's that easy. And, yeah, that being said, we are going to sign off. I'm going to enjoy the Baja 1000 this weekend as well as Thanksgiving. We'll be back next week, Thanksgiving week, for another epic edition of Project Action on Podcast One. And we'll see you next time. Be safe. Have a great weekend.
Welcome to the MIP.
Yeah.
The Michael Irvin Podcast.
You knew this was coming.
Guess who?
We start this thing off. Join me every week for the Michael Irvin Podcast. We'll give you the full MIP experience. I'm talking everything from football to fashion. I will be chopping it up with playmakers, headline makers, and I am throwing haymakers. I'm the MVP of the MIP. Don't miss it.
Download new episodes of the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast, every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.